what God has put in my brother's heart. It's a privilege to me for me to present him to you guys, Brother Aaron. I don't hang out with him a lot, but I can see that he has the love for God, the way he acts and the way he behaves himself, and I have a lot of respect for him. You know, this morning me and my wife, we were talking a little bit about what is the most things that would things that separate us from God and that can make us not to think over him. And one of the things is just a lot of the distractions that we have now with the surround us. And that includes so many things that I cannot, it's just a big list. But this time I ask you guys to put everything in the side and to just focus on the word that my brother has to say today. And then perhaps that will be a blessing for us today. So for not taking any more time, I'll give you guys Brother Aaron.
Thank you, Jose. Appreciate those kind words and the admonition. So you can see I titled my sermon today, Humility, not Humidity. I made sure I spelled checked two or three times to make sure I got everything right. So, but humility. So I have the question. Are you humble? Here we have this picture, this man who appears to be bowed in prayer, and he would appear to be humble. By the exterior look, it looks like he's humble. But is that all that's required, to be humble? You know, I ask the question, are you humble? Because I think if you read your scriptures long enough, you'll find that humility is a requirement, and that we cannot do anything. We cannot achieve salvation unless we are humble. You know, it's required so that we know God. In my studies of this, for this sermon, I came across a quote. I forget how it goes exactly, and I forget who said it, but, you know, for those that are humble, they're always looking up. For those that are not humble, they're always looking down, which is probably why it's required to know God. Because if we're not humble, then we're not looking up to God. So this is a requirement on our part. We must be humble. Psalms, in the 138th Psalm, in the 6th verse, though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. But the proud he knoweth afar off. As we see, there's a separation from God if we are proud. And if we have pride in our hearts, it keeps us from our Lord and our Savior. We cannot know him. In the words of Christ in Matthew, in the 23rd chapter, in the 12th verse, whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. He that shall humble himself shall be exalted. In James 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. So in the words of Jesus and James, we see, once again, this humility is required. It's required so that God can work with us. It's required so that God can mold our hearts. It's a requirement. Otherwise, we cannot know God. We cannot understand him if we are not humble. It is a requirement to overcome sin. Repentance of our sins requires humility. We cannot come before God in pride and ask for forgiveness. It doesn't work. We cannot expect that our repentance will be honored if we are not humble when we ask. And it's something that we all share. We all are given weaknesses. We find that in Ether, in the 5th chapter. I'm going to start in the 27th verse. And this is Moroni, he's speaking. He's lamenting in praying to God over the fact that, you know, his writings are weak, that this record which he's taking down is imperfect because it's being written by men. And he's lamenting to God, and God gives this answer to Moroni. And when I had said this, the Lord spake unto me, saying, fools mock, but they shall mourn. And my grace is sufficient for the meek, that they shall take no advantage of your weakness. And if men come unto me, I will show unto them their weakness. I give unto men weakness, that they may be humble. And my grace is sufficient for all men that humble themselves before me. For if they humble themselves before me, and have faith in me, then will I make weak things become strong unto them. Behold, I will show unto the Gentiles their weakness, and I will show unto them that faith and hope bringeth unto me the fountain of all righteousness. You know, we are all sinners. And we all have sins that we struggle with. We all have weaknesses. It's given unto us to have weaknesses. It's given unto us because God seeks a relationship with you. God wants you to come to Him. And if we were made perfect, then we would have no need to go to Him. If we were made perfect and didn't have struggles and didn't have weaknesses and sins that beset our lives, there would be no need to go to God. There would be no reason to go humbly before Him and ask forgiveness. And so we are given weakness so that He can know us and we can know Him. We must acknowledge that we're weak as a part of being humble. Turn over to Messiah in the second chapter. Let's start in the 7th verse. This is King Benjamin in his address to his people. King Benjamin again opened his mouth and began to speak unto them, saying, "My friends and my brethren, my kindred and my people, I would again call your attention that ye may hear and understand the remainder of my words, which I shall speak unto you. For behold, that if the knowledge of the goodness of God at this time hath awakened you to a sense of your nothingness and your worthless and fallen state, I say unto you that if ye have come to a knowledge of the goodness of God and His matchless power and His wisdom and His patience and His long-suffering towards the children of men, and also the atonement which hath been prepared from the foundation of the world, that thereby salvation might come unto him that should put his trust in the Lord and should be diligent in keeping His commandments and continue in the faith even unto the end of his life, I mean the life of the mortal body, I say that this is the man that receiveth salvation through the atonement which was prepared from the foundation of the world for all mankind, whichever were ever since the fall of Adam, or whichever shall be, even unto the end of the world. And this is the means whereby salvation cometh. And there is no other salvation save this which hath been spoken of. Neither are there any conditions whereby man can be saved except the conditions which I have told you." And one of those conditions is acknowledging that we have weakness. And that before our God, the God who at His word brought into creation all things, who is powerful, knowledgeable, full of love and grace, that we are nothing before Him. We have to acknowledge this. It's a part of being humble. Going back into the words of Christ in Matthew in the 18th chapter. "We cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven unless we are humble." A key that gets us there. A key to salvation and everlasting joy. Matthew 18, the first verse. "At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, Verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me." You know, he compares the humility of a child. Children, small children, you know, they can be noisy. Many times, their desire is to please. They desire the love of their parents. They desire to make them happy. We must be humble as a child, seeking the happiness of our Father in heaven. What is it that I can do that I can make you happy, so that one day I can walk with you on the streets of heaven. Become as a little child, meek and submissive, humble. Go over into Helaman, the Book of Mormon. Helaman in the fourth chapter. In this particular verse of scripture, Brother Helaman here, he's lamenting on the many scriptures before how wicked man is and how, you know, they've just come through this great war and they've gone and they've forgotten their God again. He's lamenting this fact. He goes through and he's talking about all the power that God has. I'm going to cut in right at the tail end of this lament that Helaman has. Starting in verse 67. And behold, if the Lord say unto man, because of thine iniquities thou shalt be accursed forever, it shall be done. And if the Lord shall say, because of thine iniquities thou shalt be cut off from my presence, he will cause that it shall be so. And woe unto him, woe unto whom he shall say this, for it shall be unto him that will do iniquity, and he cannot be saved. Therefore, for this cause, that men might be saved, hath repentance been declared. Therefore, blessed are they who will repent and hearken unto the voice of the Lord their God, for these are they that shall be saved. You know, it's a requirement that we repent, a requirement that we become humble, a requirement that we ask for forgiveness. Because God is our judge, and he has this ability to make this judgment, to declare, I don't know you. You're cursed. And he has that power, and he has that ability. And yet, he has given us the way of repentance, the way to overcome sin. He gave us his Son, Jesus Christ, to cover the gap. And it is us and our job to be humble and seek repentance. And at the same time, humility is such a powerful, powerful tool. You know, there's a thought process out in the world today, you know, if you're humble, then that you're weak. And nothing could be further from the truth. You know, meekness is not weakness. Humility is a very, very powerful, powerful thing. Humility builds nations. If you go over to the first book of Nephi, in the third chapter, Nephi is having a dream. And he was about to embark on coming to this world, and this is the dream that he had. Coming to the promised land and the fulfillment of what would happen. First Nephi in the third chapter. I'm going to start in the 152nd verse. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld that the Gentiles, which had gone forth out of captivity, did humble themselves before the Lord, and the power of the Lord was with them. And I beheld that their mother Gentiles were gathered together upon the waters and upon the land also to battle against them. And I beheld that the power of God was with them, and also that the wrath of God was upon all them that were gathered together against them to battle. And I, Nephi, beheld that the Gentiles which had gone out of captivity were delivered by the power of God out of the hands of all other nations. It wasn't because of who they were. It was because they were humble. And when you are humble before your God, you incur his love and his protection. Protection from evil. Again, flipping over into the seventh chapter. There are those that Satan has hold on. And there are many. And it's something we should fear. Something we should be concerned of. Something we should be humble before the Lord about. And asking for his protection. in the 7th chapter, first book of Nephi, in 33rd verse. For the day soon cometh that all the proud and they which do wickedly shall be as stubble. And the day cometh that they must be burned. For the time soon cometh that the fullness of the wrath of God shall be poured out upon all the children of men. For he will not suffer that the wicked shall destroy the righteous. Wherefore he will preserve the righteous by his power. Even if it so be that the fullness of his wrath must come, and the righteous be preserved, even unto the destruction of their enemies by fire. Can you imagine such a thing? God's protecting his people from heaven. Is there anything more powerful than that? Protecting what is righteous? How does it come? It comes through humility. It comes when we bend our will to the will of the Father. And then we will receive such things. Humility, it's a powerful tool for spiritual and physical healing. Mark, in the 7th chapter, starting the 25th verse, Jesus has taken his disciples, and he's actually gone out from Jerusalem. They've gone away from Jerusalem. They're seeking a little bit of rest at this point. And yet, Jesus had a name, and people knew when he was coming and going, this man who did miracles. They've gone out, and they've hidden in a house, trying to get some rest, arguing with Pharisees and Sadducees, arguing with stubborn hearts of Israel. And so as they seek this rest in this house, this woman comes. Mark 7, 25. For a certain woman whose daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. She besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. Seems kind of like a harsh statement, doesn't it? She answered him and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, Go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. She acknowledged, she came before him humbly. From my understanding of this verse of Scripture, he was not insulting her, he was just telling her, it's not your time yet. I'm here for the house of Israel right now. And she acknowledges that. I understand, Lord. And because she was humble before him, because she fell down at his feet and worshipped him, she gave him the thing that he was trying to get from the house of Israel, and they would not do it. He honors her request. Because she was humble. She reached out in faith, acknowledged her nothingness before him, and her daughter was healed. Humility is powerful for forgiveness. Flip over into Isaiah. In the 6th chapter of Isaiah, Isaiah is having a dream. I pick up in the 5th verse. And in this dream, he recognizes that he is not worthy. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And he acknowledges this. I'm not worthy of this. I'm not clean. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Forgiven. Because he was humble, acknowledging the power of our God, acknowledging his nothingness before him. And he was forgiven. It's powerful in spreading the gospel. It's how we win hearts. That's how we win minds. You don't come at them in judgment. You don't come at them spewing truths. You come at them with humility. Acts in the 10th chapter. This is Peter. And Peter has gone out after Jesus has left. He's begun to spread the gospel. And there was a man, a good man. But he, former to this, was an enemy of Israel, or served the nations that were enemies of Israel and put them in captivity. A soldier, probably used to put down rebellions and enforce rule. Someone the Jews did not care for. An occupier in their nation. Acts 10, the first verse. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid, and he said, What is it, Lord? He said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. God answers his humility. Comes to him and talks. He then goes on and tells him, Send men to Joppa. My servant's there. You need to retrieve him. I'm going to skip down to the 9th verse. And on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh into the city, Peter went up into the housetop to pray about the 6th hour. And he became very hungry, and he would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance, and saw heaven open, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been in great sheet, knit at the four corners, and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again a second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And this was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now Peter doubted himself what this vision which he had seen should mean. Behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, was lodged there. While Peter thought in the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. If you continue on in the story, he goes and visits Cornelius, gives him the gospel because of his humility. He was shown where he was proud. Shown. This gospel is not just for the house of Israel any longer. It must go out to the rest of the world. To those of your former enemies, preach to them. Teach them. Take the word. I'm sure Peter had to humble himself to do that. Probably would have caught a lot of flack from his fellow Israelites. But he had to humble himself. He had a job to do, a work to perform. He had to go spread the gospel. Wouldn't have happened if he hadn't been humble, at least not through Peter. It's a very powerful, powerful tool, this humility. So we all need it. We must have it. Because pride is a killer. Pride will take away your peace, take away what you have, because God cannot work in your soul if you have pride. It kills your spiritual well-being. A story that well illustrates that can be found in Numbers in the 12th chapter. This is all the way back in the time of Moses. Now back when the house of Israel was being first established again. after their captivity in Egypt. And many great things that happened. Moses led his people. And there were others that partook in that. Miriam and Aaron also had an effect in seeing things. Here we pick up in this 12th chapter, this story. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us?" And the Lord heard it. And so for whatever reason, they took exception to the fact that Moses had married someone outside the house of Israel. And they deemed it unworthy. They took pride. They said, "Well, if he did that, haven't we done the same? Haven't we had dreams and visions? Have we not spoken God's word?" And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all men which were upon the face of the earth. So here you have this difference. Aaron and Miriam, evidently they weren't as meek as Moses. He was most meek of all the earth, most humble, which is why God probably chose him to do this great work. Because he was humble. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses, and unto Aaron, and unto Miriam, "Come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation." And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of a cloud, and stood in the door of the tabernacle, and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak, mouth to mouth, even apparently. And not in the dark speeches, in the similitude of the Lord, shall he behold. Wherefore, then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" And the anger of the Lord was kindled against him, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, "Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one of the dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb." And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "Heal her now, O God, I beseech thee." And the Lord said unto Moses, "If her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and after that, let her be received in again." So we see what pride got them. They were prideful that the fact that God had worked with them, had given them visions. And they wanted this equal status with Moses. And as soon as they envied what someone else had, their pride, God ceased from working with them, and he worked on them. Had to bring them back to humility and had to show them what they'd done, what it gets you. Proverbs 16:18, "Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud." You know, it's better to be humble and not receive of the riches with the proud. Because this is what happens. Eventually you fall. And the pride that I'm talking about will keep you from entering in the gates of heaven. You must be humble. Be satisfied with what God has given you. If God has given one of us to speak in visions and dreams, it's not ours to envy that. Because pride is a killer. So we must be humble. Is he humble? Is that humility? I know we all want it, but can we claim it like this? I'm humble. It's a proud statement. It's an oxymoron. It can't exist, that statement. I can't sit here and say, I'm humble. I've achieved it. I've gotten there. I have humility. You can't say those things and be humble. It's impossible. It can't be done. It's pride. And we have to be careful because sometimes God does work with us and He gives us knowledge, but we can't take that in pride. I've studied the Scriptures. I know what these things say. I can find things quickly in the Scriptures. I've got it all up here. I know where it's at. I'm powerful in the Word of God. God's given me dreams. He's given me answers to these things. Is that not pride? And the second we start saying those things, God ceases to work with us. It may be true that He's given you dreams or visions or knowledge, but the second you start to purport that what God has given you to other people, we've gone into pride. God can't work with us when we're proud, no matter what we've done in the past. We've got to be humble, meek, and submissive before Him in all things, in all places. Doesn't matter what's happened in the past. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. C.S. Lewis, his book, Mere Christianity. You know, that's what humility is. It's not devaluing ourselves. God has given us many great talents. But it's thinking less about yourself. You know, we are worth something. We're all worth. We all have value. Why would Christ get on a cross if we didn't have value? If He didn't appreciate who we are and what we are, why would He do that? Because you have value. So humility is not devaluing yourself or your abilities or your skills or your blessings. It's about taking those things and using them for others. That's what humility is. Thinking about yourself less. So are you humble? Come back to the question. What's the answer? The answer, in my opinion, and humility is not attained. It is continually, constantly, and forever sought after. This is a journey. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord bless me with thousands of rams? Or with 10,000s of rivers of oil shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. And this journey must continue on the remainder of our lives. We can never attain humility. We have to seek it each and every day in our walk with God. So if we stop walking humbly, we've lost humility. We must continue our walk with God in humility every day. Humbly walk with Him. Humbly seek Him each and every day. And don't let pride take hold on anything that He may give you. But take that and use it for others. Don't think about ourselves. Think about what we can do with our gifts, our blessings. How can it help other people? So walk humbly with God. Thank you for your time.